Some say it cost $170 million. Others say it cost $200 million. But everybody agrees that Waterworld is the most expensive movie ever made. Even minimal estimates show that it cost more than the entire annual budget of the National Endowment for the Arts. Was it worth it? Stephen Schiff has this review of Waterworld.
For the better part of a year now, those of us who follow movies have been inundated with Waterworld stories. Stories about the feuds between star Kevin Costner and director Kevin Reynolds, about the difficulties everyone had filming on and under the water, about the troubles with Costner's splintering marriage, about the troubles with Costner's thinning hair. But the best story I've heard is about the movie's origins. In 1986, a young screenwriter named Peter Rader went to the famous B-movie producer Roger Corman looking for a job. Corman told him he wanted a low-budget Mad Max ripoff, and Rader slapped together a post-apocalyptic script about what happens to the Earth after the polar ice caps melt. It was Road Warrior Gets Wet. When Corman's people read the script, though, they hit the roof. "Are you out of your mind?" they said. "This movie would cost $5 million." Well, a zillion dollars later, Waterworld still looks like Road Warrior Gets Wet. In fact, the only innovation in it is that where Road Warrior was all desert, this is all water. That and the beautiful sets that designer Dennis Gassner has built among the waves. The hero is a man with no name, played by Kevin Costner. Did I say man? I mean a mutant with no name. He has webbed feet and, behind his ears, gills. People call him the Mariner, though you would think that they would call about every third person the same thing. In any case, he's a loner who makes his way by diving down to the ocean's floor and bringing back stuff to barter at various floating cities. The most valuable thing he has to offer is simple dirt, which the denizens of Waterworld treat as though it were gold. In fact, everybody's big dream is to find a mythical place called Dry Land. No one knows where it is, but a little girl named Enola, played by Tina Majorino, has a mysterious map tattooed on her back that's supposed to lead you there. All of which attracts the interest of the evil smokers, bands of pirates led by your standard-issue shrieking psycho. That's right, Dennis Hopper. The Mariner takes it on himself to protect Enola and her guardian, played by Gene Triplehorn, but the smokers capture the little girl. Enola, however, is fearless, as in this scene, in which she gives her captors fair warning about the Mariner.
I've got your pet freak coming to rescue you.
He's not a freak, and he can take you any time. He killed dozens of people. He doesn't have any mercy or anything. He even kills little girls.
What's his name?
He doesn't have a name. So death can't find him. He doesn't have a home or people to care for. Not afraid of anything. Men least of all. He's fast and strong like a big wind. He can hear 100 miles and see 100 miles underwater. He can hide in the shadow of the noon sun. He could be right behind you and you won't even know it till you're dead.
That's about the most acting you're going to see in Waterworld. Tina Majorino has real electricity, but the grown-ups do no more than expected. Costner dashes around looking grim and purposeful and, yes, a little thin on top. Hopper screeches and gnashes his teeth. Triplehorn gets a very nice tan. Kevin Reynolds, who made Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with Costner, has directed the action sequences ingeniously, but he can't breathe much life into the characters. And every time he tries, the movie goes dead. As for all that money spent, well, it wasn't taxpayers' money. It wasn't mine or yours. Most of it, in fact, belonged to a Japanese company called Matsushita. But there's a lesson to be learned. Waterworld could never have been very good because its Road Warrior vision was always bound to be complacent and imitative. Still, it's not bad either. The thing is, when you make a movie that's not bad for $30 million, well, that's not bad. But when you make a movie that's not bad for $200 million, that's a disaster.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.